ग्लानेर भवति भारत अद्युतानं मधर्मश तदात्मानं सृजाम्यह परित्राणाय साधुना विनाशाय च दुष्कृता धर्म संस्थापना शंभवामि हरेर नाम हरेर नाम हरेर नामैव केवलम् कलौ नास्तेव 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 गतिरन्यथा Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Welcome to this weekly Krishna Consciousness Program. And I'd like to once again invite all the listeners to the Hare Krishna Temple, which is at 1229 Coatesville Riverhead Highway, also known as Highway 28, where every Sundays we hold a special public group program starting at 11:30 with bhajans and kirtans, followed by aarti of their lordships at 12:30. And then we have a discourse on Krishna consciousness based on Bhagavatam or Srimad Bhagavad Gita. And then we have Guru Puja of our founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And then we finish the day's program with Vestrian Feast at 2:30. Please come along, join us, and find out for yourself what is Krishna consciousness all about. And I would also like to inform you that if you'd like to hold any programs at your home of kirtan, bhajans, Bhagavatam, Ramayana, or Gita recitals, please let us know and we'll oblige. There's no cost involved. You just need to provide a venue and invite your friends and relatives, and we'll come along and do our part. You can contact me, Ras Brian Das, on 021-255-6757, or contact the temple and ask for me, Hare Krishna. I'll continue with the Ramayana recital. At present moment, on the instigation of Ravana, Marich has taken the form of a golden deer, and it came up to the place where Ram, Lakshman and Sita have been residing in the jungle. And Sita got attracted to this deer and requested Ram to get its skin. So Ram is going to shoot the deer and bring its golden skin back to Sita. With the formidable gift of Agastya, the Kundander bow in his hands and two quivers fastened crisscross from his shoulders and a gold-hilted sword hanging from his waist, Ram began chasing the golden deer. He noticed that the deer was behaving peculiarly. It almost seemed fearful to even look in his direction. Although the deer kept running deeper and deeper into the forest, Ram was in hot pursuit. Ram was almost on the verge of catching it when the deer surprised him by instantly appearing from the spot. He was sure that he had seen it right there, but it appeared elsewhere. One moment the deer was springing very high into the air, and in another it was pranking on the ground. They climbed up mountains, crossed dense sections of the forest, and went around lakes. Ram also noticed that even once the deer did not totally disappear from his view, it always made sure that it was within Ram's sphere of vision. The chase had begun to tire Ram and frustrate him. At one point, he almost lost sight of the deer. So he leaned against a tree, exhausted. To his surprise, the deer sprang out of nowhere and started walking toward him. As he neared, it disappeared and appeared elsewhere. By now, he had no doubt that this was a demon in disguise and that it was alluring him further and further away from Sita and Lakshman. His brother had been right, after all. Now was the time for quick action. Judging by Ram's countenance, the deer demon knew its end and was near. Maurice frantically fled for his life. He had made the greatest mistake ever because of his confidence. He shouldn't have gone near and provoked Ram. Because of his disappearing act from such close quarters, he had foolishly given away his disguise. It was all over for him now. As he sped, he could almost feel the heat of Ram's arrows on his back. As the deer sped further and further away, Ram drew a fiercely blazing celestial arrow. Kneeling with one leg on the ground, he took careful aim and released the arrow. The demon had clearly heard the whooshing of the racing arrow, so he panicked even more and began running faster. As the arrow reached closer, Maurice the deer leaped into the air trying to escape the bow. But to his utter dismay, the arrow took a trajectory and flew in the same direction as he was flying and penetrated his body, piercing through his heart. When the arrow hit him, he was airborne almost the height of a palm tree. The deer fell down with a thud. By the time the wounded body hit the ground, the deer's disguise had been shed, and in his place was Maurice in his original massive rakshas form. As he lay in a pool of blood, dying, his mind was racing faster than ever. He had to take a very important decision now. This would be his final one, his final act. In a moment of pain, with every ounce of his remaining strength, Maurice mimicked the voice of Ram and shouted out, "Hey, Ram! Hey, Lakshman!" The entire forest reverberated with their ripping call. Ram was shocked at what had just transpired. He was even more worried about its repercussions now. Maurice had very clearly mimicked his voice. Why would a demon call out his wife and brother in his voice? Lakshman had been absolutely right that this was the demon's strategy to lure him away from his wife and separate the might of the brother. With this final trick, Marich had ensured Lakshman's separation from Sita. Panic began to overcome Ram as he glanced at the ghostly carcass of Marich. He was wrong in sparing this trickster twice. Even as he died, the demon had managed to exact his revenge. Reasons why Ram followed the golden deer, knowing it was Marich. He can never kill anyone in front of Sita because she is compassion personified. He follows the demon to eliminate him once and for all. Secondly, Ram also wanted to teach the world that when one prefers the cheap attractions of this world over God, he silently walks away from one's life. Marriage represents the fraud veil of illusion over intelligence that numbs the senses of discrimination. All have their own golden deer in life. Lakshman, did you hear that? Your brother is in trouble. From the moment she heard the cry of her husband, Sita felt extremely guilty. She knew that she had pushed him into this mission to satisfy her selfish desire. She had known that Lakshman had been very skeptical about the whole thing and had warned them multiple times about this mission being a dangerous one. He was right. She had been wrong. And now that Ram was clearly in trouble because of her foolish desire, and there was nothing she could do except see to it that Lakshman reached him fast enough to provide support. But she was aghast to see Lakshman coolly seated outside sharpening his arrows and tending to his bow as if nothing had happened at all. His colorless demeanor in this calamity surprised her even more than the helpless cry of her powerful husband. She had never heard her husband cry for help, nor had she ever seen her brother-in-law be this casual about Ram's safety. These contradictions showed a seed of doubt in her heart. Why are you sitting so unperturbed when your brother is in trouble? Didn't you hear your brother's call for help? He needs you. How can you even waste a moment here when Ram is in such a dire need? Haven't you come here to save him and assist him with his needs? Sita began hurling a volley of questions at Lakshman. Relax, mother. Everything is perfectly fine. Lakshman's tone to Sita sounded almost sarcastic. Why was he behaving this way in such a calamitous time? Sita's heart was pounding so fast and hard that she thought it would burst any moment. Are you your brother's enemy in the garb of a friend? How can you be complacent during such an emergency? By now, Sita was screaming at the top of her voice. Although they were practically standing next to each other, she had raised her voice to a large extent. Lakshman was totally unmoved even then. He had great internal clarity about the entire situation. He tried to reassure her. Oh, Devi, your husband is no ordinary human. He is invincible. Not all of the Asuras, Gandharvas, demons put together can even pluck a single hair from his body. None in this universe is more competent than Ram. That insignificant demon marriage is of no consequence to Ram. Even the elements of this earth, of this world, earth, water, fire, air, ether, combined in all their fury cannot cause Ram harm. Your attachment is blinding you to the reality of his greatness. Don't worry and relax. Ram will be back soon, victorious. Your apathy makes me wonder what your real intention is. How can you say that Ram is not in trouble after hearing him screaming in helplessness? Sita was now utterly dismayed at Lakshman's casual approach towards such a serious issue. Oh, mother, the silhouette of clouds traveling in the sky sometimes give the shape of the existence of a city, but the intelligent know that there can't be a city in the sky. Similarly, the voice that you heard is not Ram's, but Maris, who has assumed the voice of Ram to delude us. It's all part of a greater plan. The intention is to take me away from you so that you remain unprotected and vulnerable. Don't worry, this Soumitri has learned enough of air tricks of demons to be fooled by them. You go inside, go back inside and stay secure. Lakshman's confidence could not be moved by apparent concerns in Sita's voice. Sita was now hysterical about the protection of her husband, and Lakshman was unwilling to budge an inch from his decision. A panic took the shape of his spear now. You are a stigma to the Raghu dynasty. You are a traitor. You are an imposter. You are a villain. You are bent on some mischief. You have some ulterior motives of staying here and not helping your brother. I see a wicked face hidden under the mask of morality. Seeing her condition and hearing the words she was uttering, Lakshmana stood up to face her. He realized that his casual approach to her anxiety had not gone down well, and she was going to an extreme in her judgment of his intentions. He knew that he had to help her understand his genuineness now. Oh, mother, try to understand that Janistan is not a safe place anymore. We are directly subjugated to the radar of the Rakshas forces after the annihilation of Kar, Dushan, and their forces. At this time, powers will try to disunite us. Now, more than ever, in these 13 years, we have to have faith in each other. The only reason I cannot go away from here is that I am following my brother's instructions. Ram had told me not to leave you alone and unprotected under any circumstance. I cannot disobey his orders. I have no other intention in staying back. He tried to explain to her clearly, but he was still very blunt about his reasoning. I know why you are staying here when your brother is in trouble. You have been waiting for your brother to go away all along so that you can enjoy me. Sita's words pierced Lakshman's heart like a lens, and he staggered backwards like a harpooned elephant. Lakshman felt as if Sita had thrust red-hot needles inside his ears. He couldn't believe that Sita had just said. Did she actually doubt his character? His head began to spin. He had to hold it physically to be able to stay well and not fall down. Nothing registered in his mind anymore, but Sita's volley of words continued to flow unabated. Jealousy is not uncommon among stepbrothers. Either you are desirous of enjoying me, or Bharat has sent you with us with some nefarious intentions. One brother stole away the kingdom, and the other intends to steal his wife. Let me assure you that my love for Ram is unlimited, and neither you nor Bharat will find any fulfillment of your devious intentions here. Before you lay your dirty hands on me, I shall drown myself in the Godavari, so or hang myself, or drink poison, or self-immolate. I will not touch a stranger even with my foot. I cannot live without Ram. Thus speaking, she began hitting her stomach with her fist, wailing hysterically. Soon, tired of all the stress, she slumped to the ground. Sitting motionless, stiff and silent, she just kept staring at a wall as tears rolled down her cheeks. Holding his ears and head tightly, Lakshman began walking away from Sita. For 13 long years, all day, all night, he had been saving her menially with all his heart and all his energy, carrying her belongings like a servant, building houses for her, fetching food supplies for her, undergoing hardships for her, after having abandoned the association of his wife and the comforts of home. After all he got was slander instead of words of gratitude and appreciation, and that too of such great magnitude, aspersions cast in his character. This was too much for Lakshman to bear. He wanted to blast her, yell at her. He wanted to, but he didn't. Something else. Instead, his response totally surprised him. Thank you, oh broad-eyed mother. Thank you for your kind words. I am leaving you as per your desire. But take it from me. When I return here with Ram, you will not be there. You will have plenty of time to repent for this accusation. I am not going to justify or argue with you. I only feel sorry for you now. But as your diligent servant and well-wisher, I pray to all the deities of the forest to protect you while I am gone. Please accept my respect for the last time. His composer stumped him. Probably for the first time, he was handling her disaster so calmly that too without Ram's help, he turned and walked away from her, leaving her to her destiny. That cry created distress somewhere, but aspiration somewhere else. A sannyasi dressed in silky saffron clothes burst into a smile. He was a newcomer to this forest, at least in this new outfit. His gait echoed a spring of accomplishment on his wooden clogs clagged on the hard forest trail. With his hair tufted smoothly above his head and protected by a saffron umbrella, he clearly had a royal air about him. Indeed, he was a Parivarjakacharya sannyasi, having traveled the world with his numerous disciples. Today, he had come to the forest alone on a mission so secret that even his closest disciples were not private to it. Thus, he chose to come alone. On his left shoulder, he proudly held his sannyas staff, onto which he hung his kamandalu. Easily his appearance camouflaged his intentions. He knew that dressing up as a sannyasi was easy, but to imitate the mood and behavior of one was difficult. He had to be careful, especially of anyone who could provoke him before he reached his target. For him, it was toughest to rein in his temper when provoked. Thankfully, the walk wasn't too long. Soon he was standing in front of Sita's leafy cottage. He could hear the sobs emanating from inside. He couldn't see anyone nearby. His plan had worked perfectly. His crafty schemes had never failed him. He knew human psychology all too well and had always managed to take advantage of petty emotions. As he approached the hut, he felt like a hungry python slithering towards a meek rabbit. Sensing his intention, the trees began to shake violently even in the absence of the wind. The Godavari suddenly seized and flooded its bank. The meticulously dressed sannyasi began to chant Vedic hymns at great speed. His pronunciation, mita, intonation, and dictum were flawless. As his lips mechanically chanted the incantations, his eyes began scrutinizing the beautiful damsel inside. One look at the beauty of Sita and he broke into a sweat. He couldn't fathom the sight, flawless and beautiful, like he had never seen before. Her face was lowered and resting on her arms that were placed on her lips, and she was crouched and crying piteously. Her exquisite beauty shone forth. He was thankful that his foolish sister Supanika has stumbled upon this beauty. He wanted to donate his entire kingdom to her in return for this invaluable gift as she had accidentally handed him. Upon hearing the mantras at her threshold, Sita came out wiping away her tears. The sannyasi stopped his chant midway. His jaws dropped and he froze mid-sentence. He wasn't even blinking. He continued gawking at her shamelessly. She was incredible. So we'll stop there for the week and continue from here next week.
Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.